Hi, little chocolate donuts, and welcome to episode 127 of Hungry in Kentucky. I'm Sarah from Bluegrass Bourbon and Eats, and today I'm joined in Fort Lewis Studios by Carrie.
I am happy to say that I still have my eyesight, even after the eclipse. My eyeballs did not get burned.
We are at day one post-eclipse.
Yes.
And we have survived.
We did survive.
The world didn't end.
Yet.
There was no Illuminati activity that I know of. Birds didn't fall out of the sky. People didn't catch on fire spontaneously. I'm just trying to think of weird things that might happen that would cause. Mm-hmm. There weren't like just an onslaught of births of babies that I'm aware of.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really keeping up with that though. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
But you know, sometimes people will be like, well, you know, there's always a lot of babies born on a full moon.
Mm.
What about when there's a full moon over the sun?
Mm.
Do you think that means a double the babies are born?
Ooh.
Or no babies are born?
Well, there were some babies because I saw a picture on Twitter
of an eclipse.
I guess there were some babies born and they gave them the little eclipse glasses so they wouldn't burn their baby corneas.
They came directly out of the womb and outside.
Right, looking at
it came out, and then they took it directly outside. Didn't even wipe it off.
They're looking directly at the sun. Yeah.
Yes. It couldn't even open its eyes yet.
No.
Looking at the sun.
Looking right at the sun. So, yeah, I saw that there were some people, I guess there was the big thing was that a lot of people were Googling sore eyes or something after eclipse, and it was like they even wore their glasses. But if you think about it, even if you're wearing those glasses, you're still staring directly in the sun for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
the glasses are meant for you to be able to take a glance for a couple of seconds and be like, oh, look at that, and then look back down. They're not meant for you to stare intensely mm-hmm. into the sun without looking elsewhere.
Right. See, this is why I'm more of a fan of a lunar eclipse, because you can look directly at a lunar eclipse. You can watch the whole lunar eclipse with your regular eyeballs. You don't need special glasses, mm-hmm. and lunar eclipses are super cool.
We don't see a lot of those, I feel like.
We've had a couple in the past couple of years, because I've made sure to, like, I won't catch, like, the whole thing, but, like, I'll definitely catch some of it. If you get up early enough, you can see it.
It doesn't garner as much attention as a solar eclipse, which I think is shameful.
It is shameful. And, you know, I'm probably going to rant again about this on Girls Beer Sports, because I want to hear what Lauren's experience with the eclipse was.
Yeah.
You know, because I know Sylvia was super excited about it.
Yeah.
And
she's
we
super into that stuff.
We didn't have the best weather around here for it, but,
you know. No, it was
very cloudy. But, yeah, I feel like the lunar eclipses get the shaft. And I feel like lunar eclipses happen more often. And maybe that's why. And maybe also it's because you have to stay up late to see a lunar eclipse.
Possibly.
Or get up early to see a lunar eclipse.
And there's probably not like, I mean, I'm no astrologist, but, or astronomer, or whatever, whatever the term for someone that looks at the sky.
Astronomer.
When I was a child, I was very much into this and would have known that. And now all my brain cells have rotted and I don't remember. But, yes, I'm no expert, but I don't even remember where I was going.
We're talking about lunar versus solar.
Yeah, and I had a point about staring up at the sky, but I don't know. Well, it was going to be good, whatever it was.
See, there was a lunar eclipse March 25th, 2024, and you never heard about it, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, just get the shaft. Oh, there's going to be one on September 18th that you get partial, and then there will be a total one on March 14th, 2025 that you'll be able to see Pacific, America's, Western Europe, and Western Africa.
I remember I was going to say, is there a path of totality with a lunar eclipse?
Yes. Yes, there is.
Oh, okay.
It's exact same concept.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that
the sun is in front of the moon.
Sun, yeah. So
the moon in front of the sun.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, then why aren't people traveling to these like podunk weird towns to watch a lunar eclipse?
I think part of it too is the fact that, you know, it gets dark and then the temperature drops and then the stars come out and the animals go crazy. I don't know. It's just lunar eclipses get the shaft and it irritates me.
Which is really funny because I know two people that went to watch the solar eclipse yesterday and they came back to work today and they are quite sunburned.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because you're just sitting out there waiting on it,
yeah.
right?
Like, they're real sunburned. Like, you know, just because the moon's covering the sun doesn't mean you won't be getting the harmful UV rays that burn your skin.
Right. You know what? How I avoided that? I sat right in my chair, and I watched it on the TV. That's exactly how I avoided that mess.
I looked out of a window, but I didn't have a good vantage point, and I was at my place of employment for once. And it's just a hassle to get in and out.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a lot of doors. And you have to go down a lot of floors and take a lot of turns. It's
effort.
Yeah. And then, like, if you get your badge, forget it. You're not getting back
in
there.
Oh, yeah.
So, and there's a lot at stake. So, it takes 10 minutes just to get outside. No, I have 10 minutes to go in and out. I'm a busy lady.
Yeah, like I said, that, and I've said.
And it looked stormy. I was like, oh, it just looks, is it storming? It looks like it's a storm.
It looks,
I gotta go back to work.
Like, it looks like it does now outside. It really is on raining now. But, yeah, I said this before on GBS. The one in 2017, I guess it was, I did nothing for me.
Yeah, I looked at that one and said, oh.
Yeah.
What? I'll go back inside.
Yeah, the sun is eclipsed by the moon.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go. Let's just go back inside and play Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon and be happy.
Yeah. Play it backwards, see if any satanic words come out.
Or start, you know, The Wizard of Oz on the third roar of the MGM lion and then play it that way.
Or turn on Lords of Salem, that movie by Rob Zombie where they play the ancient record and it awakens all the witches' ancestors in Salem and then there's a mess. End of life at the end of it. You know, spoiler.
See, if only somebody would have done that yesterday during the solar eclipse. Mm-hmm. What a lost opportunity.
I know. See, nothing cool happened. It just happened, and then there was no interruption of other things. Although I will say, the one cool thing that would have been cool was to get there was like flights in, I think, Austin and out of Austin and then out of Dallas, Fort Worth.
There were
that were going to be in the direct path of mm-hmm. totality, so you could see it like. Like way up above the clouds.
Yeah.
That would have been cool.
Well, and there were some like NASA planes or Air Force planes or whatever that flew to take pictures and they shot rockets into it.
Yeah.
Hey, man, if that's your thing, if you went and saw it, good on you. I'm happy for you. I hope you had a fun time
for
a good time. Just ain't my thing.
Yeah, we're just not into that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, seeing the sunset from an airplane was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So it would have been cool seeing that from seeing an eclipse from an airplane.
Yeah, I'm more into the cryptozoologies and the the UFO stuffs.
Were you hoping maybe while everyone was looking up at the eclipse that Bigfoot would walk out in front of everyone and no one would see because they were all looking up at the eclipse here I am.
Or the Loch Ness Monster comes out, right? Oh, hey guys. Oh, you're looking at the eclipse. Bummer. I don't have the glasses. Gotta go back in my...
The Mothman's trying to come and warn everybody about something, but they're all looking at the sky, not paying attention. And he's just like, well, I guess they'll just have to deal with that tragedy. I don't know.
Yeah.
So see, I can talk about cryptids. I don't believe in them that much, but I can talk about them.
Yeah. I mean, we're not going to go down that road, but I got my theories.
Fair enough.
Same way I got my theories about UFOs, and we're not going to go down that road either.
Nope. Quarter till never.
Right.
On our other podcast, Spooks and Politics.
There you go. Or Spooks and Politics. Oh.
Fourth podcast.
Like that. But yeah, I mean, there were some cool food stuffs. I mean, to kind of tie this back into food, there were some cool food stuffs that came out of it, I guess.
I wish that while I was not looking at the eclipse, I would have ordered those sun chips. But I forgot.
Oh, well.
Until it was over, and then I was like, dang it! That would have been cool.
They were probably gone, too.
Yeah, what were they? Habanero and
I don't even remember.
Bean flavors.
I don't even know if I have the link still.
Like
I may have cleaned it out of my
whatever flavor it was. It actually sounded good. I would have tried it. I don't eat a lot of sun chips, but I like a sun chip.
Yeah,
they're a food that masquerades as healthy, but I don't think they are.
I believe I cleaned it out of my bookmarks here. So sorry. But yeah, well, and then, you know, there was like, I think Krispy Kreme was doing donuts, and then there's some like local places that were doing donuts. And, you know, I think places that had like totality, like I think I saw some breweries that were doing like beers and stuff like that. So
yeah, let's see. Here's an article from ABC7 in New York. The news station. Different from Krispy Kreme to Sun Chips. Oh, there you go. More and more companies roll out total eclipse promotions. Let's see. So we had Krispy Kreme teaming up with Oreo to sell a limited donut cookie creation. Sonic was selling a blackout slush float. Sun Chips unveiled a new flavor that will only be available during the 4.5 minutes. There's Moon Pies, also kicked off a Sun versus Moon SmackDown themed campaign as a chocolate snack. White Maker promotes its Eclipse Survival Kit made up of 4 mini Moon Pies and 2 pairs of Eclipse glasses. Southwest and Delta had advertised Eclipse Wing flight paths. Let's see. Some towns and local vendors have been anticipating the celestial event and its huge crowds. There are oodles of special eclipse safety glasses for sale with t-shirts emblazoned with clever slogans. There's also eclipse themed beer, especially dining packages and watch parties at amusement parks, wineries, and zoos. Let's see. I'm trying to see what else it said. I just found this. That's more about. Okay, that was it basically. Yeah. The last part is just talking about the Krispy Kreme Oreo combo. Yeah, it was only available through yesterday. So you could have gotten it all weekend.
Okay.
Up through yesterday.
Yeah, but it's no longer there. I guess, like it said, like breweries and local places were doing stuff too, I guess, having specials. And I saw local places that were doing donuts. I think South Lime had a donut that they did that I saw on Instagram or something like that. But I mean, a lot of people capitalizing on it.
The chip flavor was pineapple habanero and black bean spicy gouda.
Ah,
there so you. That's what I got on here to find, and then that article popped up. So.
Well, but I like we were able to showcase the other foods and tie-ins.
Yeah.
So there you go. And you know what? I'm sure that there's probably plenty left over that you could get at a discount.
Yeah, I'm wondering if I can get them now still. I bet you can go on eBay and get them or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm for sure. They're all gone on the website, but, you know, that's near here. There you are. So, yeah, I mean, I guess, like I said, if you're into that kind of thing, I hope you had fun, and I hope you got to at least see it a little bit without burning your eyeballs out.
Yes. Yeah. Safety first.
Absolutely. We had a couple of food adventures since the last episode that we recorded, but we had them separately.
Yes, we gotta start having some together again.
I know we do. Well, now that basketball is officially over and all of that, we'll probably start up the brunch train again or something like that.
There's lots of new places I feel like
for sure. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Would you had something before I did.
I did. It was the Thursday, so we recorded the last episode when we ever recorded it. I guess that would have been March 26th. Is that right? Yeah. Tuesday, March 26th, and then this was on Thursday, March 28th. Hmm. So this is actually, I think this was like, they've had these before, but this is the first one I've been to. And this actually coincided with their anniversary. Mm-hmm. That weekend. And this is West 6 Brewing's Local Mash. It was their beer and food event. Mm-hmm. John decided he wanted to go. He was actually off that day, so that was one of the biggest reasons we were able to go, right? But I would totally go again. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, what all do you get when you... How's it work?
If you've seen Top Chef, this is the best way I can describe it.
Yeah.
Okay, so on Top Chef, they have those food events where like 100 people come or 50 people come, mm-hmm. right? And all the different chefs have their different stations that they cook a different thing at.
Yeah.
They make a different like whatever little bite, little thing at. And that's basically what this was.
Okay.
So you had, let me count, because I don't remember how many people. I have the little paper here. I made sure to save it. You had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 chefs from 8 different places.
Okay.
And they made a dish, and then you got a beer pairing with that dish. So you actually got like just a half of a...
That's what I got for the big beers.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't fill it up or anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, you got a pairing with that. And then you got your little passport thing and you got marked off. Mm-hmm. So you couldn't go back again. Maybe at the end you could have, you know, if they had... And I get that because everybody who paid to be there, you want to make sure that everybody gets food, right?
Of course.
And it was $65 a person. And I don't remember what the cap was on how many people, but they had sold out. But to tell you the truth, that place is pretty big, and they had chefs, like, so they had people in the front, then they had the people in the brewery, the
The barrel room?
Yeah, the barrel room. And then they had people kind of back in the canning area.
Okay.
So it was spread out, so it didn't feel like it was super crowded. So real quick, let me just tell you who was there and what restaurants they were from.
Yeah.
And then I'll give you the dish, and then I'll give you the one that I liked the best.
Okay.
So we had Steve LaBarge from Honeywood, who had a mini 4 o'clock snack plate, and that had pimento beer cheese, house pickles, she wrote over top of this, cracker, black-eyed pea hummus, sweet potato beignet with lemon ricotta and pepper jelly.
That sounds really good.
Yeah. Then Hannah Arvin from Holly Hill Inn had a fava bean fritter. Minted fava bean fritter, beer braised lamb with mop sauce, and then a green garlic labmeth.
Okay.
Yeah. John Shipley from County Club had a duck bokkie, which was basically a spicy Korean pork belly bowl with kimchi.
Oh, interesting.
It was spicy. It was good, though.
I'm sure.
Sam Four from Tuk Tuk Snack Shop, and we really liked Tuk Tuk Snack Shop when we went there, so I was a little disappointed in their offering, because they had a coconut curry deviled egg.
Yeah.
So I gave mine to John.
You're not a deviled egg fan,
I'm not.
To be fair. What did he think of the deviled eggs? He liked them? Because he's a huge fan, as I'm a huge fan.
He is a huge fan. He's a huge fan of traditional and different ones, like, right? Mm-hmm. He thought the coconut was a little weird.
It does seem weird on my
egg. He didn't think it was bad. Mm-hmm. Like, he ate both of them, right? But he was just like, oh, this is just a little weird.
Yeah.
It was just, So then Paula and Dara was the Manchester, which is the in the hotel.
Oh, yeah. I want to go there.
Yeah. Coffee rub chicken arepa, which was pretty good.
Okay.
Colleen Mahan from Pearls, which is that pizza place.
I've never been there.
I haven't either. Wood-fired vegetable crisp that had a bunch of stuff on it.
Okay.
And it was like, it had a bunch of like mushrooms, asparagus, artichoke hearts, olives, had anchovy, chili butter. It was a lot of stuff going on there. Cole from Cole's 373. Cole, 735. Yeah, 735 Main, glazed pork belly.
Okay.
Which is pretty good.
Yeah.
And then Alejandro Salinas from the West 6 Cantina, which is their food truck, had a tostada that was a homemade tostada from, I can't remember where it says from one of those Agua Calientes places over in Cardinal Valley.
Yeah.
And that had lime marinated shrimp, cucumber. I took off the avocado, which was fine. Pickled red onion. Yeah. So, that was good, too.
Mm-hmm.
It was all really good.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite, though, was definitely the fava bean fritter with the lamb.
Okay.
Oh, man. It was that lamb was so delicious.
That sounds good.
It was just the sauce on it was, it was so good. And I really enjoyed the snack platter, too.
Yeah. The snack platter sounded good.
Yeah. And then the kimchi thing, it was good. The Korean pork belly.
Yeah. I've been to like a couple of those places. All those places on that list are places that I want to go back to or go to in general. I've never been to County Club for as long as it's been around here.
Really?
Yeah. So I want to go there.
I haven't been in a long time, mm-hmm. but I've been.
Yeah. Let's go to all those places.
All right. No, but, then you had the beer pairing, which was really good. You had the Packaway Vienna Lager, Hazy IPA, Double IPA, Cherry Sour was with the egg, so I just drank the beer.
I love their Cherry Sour, by the way.
The Coffee Stout, which was with the Arepa.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
The House Cider, which was with the Pearls thing. The rye brown and then the West 6 Cerveza to round it out. But $65 a person.
I mean, really, for what, probably a 5-ounce pour with each one and then a little, like, small plates like that, that's a really good price.
Yeah, and, and then the bar was open, so you could get whatever else, and we had, like one or two pours, after we had eaten everything.
So, did they bring each course to you, or did you get up and go get it?
No, you had to get up and go get it.
Okay.
So it was just like it is in Top Chef with the stations, right?
Okay.
And then we just kind of followed the way it went in order with the program or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, you just kind of staked out your spot, And we just staked out two chairs at the bar and just put jackets on there. Yeah. And you just got up and went and came back.
That's how Only Ask Us this looks almost exactly like Big Beers. It was the same exact setup. They had different stations like all over the entire brewery in different rooms, and then they gave you a passport. But there you couldn't get everything. You could only get five pours. They had like 15 or 16 beers.
Oh, that's a lot.
But you could only get five pours.
Yeah.
So you had to take your passport with you, and they had to stamp it. So if you had more than five, they wouldn't. You could purchase more after the event. Mm. Mm-hmm. So after it was 4 to 8, I think, or 4 to 9 maybe, but I guess 8. And then after 8, you could buy full pours or whatever you wanted. But yeah, you had to get up and go get it. And it was in these exact same glasses. They just said Big Beers instead of Local Mash.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, that's interesting. I'd like to go to that. I'd like to go to it next year if they do it again. You were texting me during it and being like, ooh, we got this. Ooh, we got that.
Yeah. I'm sure they'll do it again next year because I think this was their sixth one or something like that. I think that's what I read. So, and it sold out, and it seems to be a pretty popular event. I will say one other thing. You got a little gift at the end, and I was like, I was telling John, I was like, oh, man, I don't need another tchotchke or whatever, you know, because I don't. I mean, these stemless wine glasses, whatever you want to call them, are really nice, and I actually like these better than usually the little sample glasses that they give you. But at the end, the gift that they gave was two of their snake cakes in cans, which they'd never done.
Whoa.
So, and two of the magic bean coffee stout.
Oh.
So you got two beers for your parting gift, which that's awesome. I was like, this is great.
Excuse me. Yeah, that's, I love that. I'm jealous of that. Because, we had to buy giant things of beer at Big Beers, which, I didn't buy mine. My friend bought it for me as a gift for the podcast.
Yes.
But still, you had to buy it. But that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's a really... It was
fun.
A lot of bang for your buck.
It was a lot of fun, and like I said, it was sold out, but it didn't feel like you weren't like elbow to elbow with people.
Yeah,
it was easy to move around. I think we waited. The longest we waited in the line was maybe 30 seconds to a minute.
Yeah.
To get food because they were just putting it out on the table, and you just came by and took it.
Yeah,
great.
I think. Where was it a come and go as you wanted? Did you have to get there at a certain time and leave at a certain time? Or could you come early or come late?
So it started at 6:30. And then the last check in that you could do, I think, was at 8:30.
Okay.
So they did have a check in cutoff time, yeah. But we got there way early.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, that's awesome that you got to do that. I'm kind of jealous.
Well, now I'm kind of jealous of the thing that you got to do because I want to see this place.
So we, me and some friends went to brunch from time to time on the weekends. And we went for someone's belated birthday because this is the last birthday for 6 months. So we won't get to birthday brunch for a while. But anyway, they wanted to go to the Glitz in Versailles, which I've always heard about. It has a reputation as being over the top. I'm going to say it's weird. I guess in a good way. It wasn't weird in a bad way. I'm not horrified that I went there. I just don't know what I expected, I guess. Because I didn't know anything about it. I've never really looked that far into it. I just know that it's a restaurant that's in some other building. The drive there is beautiful. I would say it's in Woodford County. It's not in Versailles because there's not a city to be found nearby at all, which is cool because I love to drive those country roads, those big windy country roads that go out into horse country. And these were down some real creepy roads. Really would probably see the Mothman or Bigfoot out there, which I enjoy. I was having a good old time driving there and back. But anyway, you get there. It's inside of the Irish Acres Gallery of Antiques. And I'm not saying anything bad about either of these places. I just want to preface this because it's going to sound like I'm saying something bad about them. I'm not. They're very interesting, and I think a lot of people would be interested in this, especially if you're into antiques and estate sales. I get the impression that a lot of the stuff that they have that you can buy is things that they've bought from estate sales. Like, really nice, like, antique pieces from all over the world. So they had, like, a whole, like, area that seemed like it was very French. They had, like, a whole Asian area. They had areas. It's like a big, it's this huge building. It's got like two or three stories in it. You can go into all these rooms and they're kind of themed based on like the antique. So that's kind of neat. So we were walking around looking at, like, you could tell when you're moving from like different parts of the world. Like, I was like, oh, well, we're clearly in like 1700s America. Like, this is colonial America. This is like back in the time of like the Orient, like, Express and, like, all of those things. This is very French. This is very, like, countryside. This is the 1900s, whatever. But the restaurant itself is in the basement of this place. Like, and it's, like, a full-on cellar, and there's no light. Like, there's windows, but they've blacked out the windows. I guess so that there's not, like, constant, like, sunlight just blaring down in it. But it's really cool. I'll show you these pictures that are on Google. So, let's see. That's one of the things. It's almost like going into a cave and dining. So, they literally have, like, one whole room is, like, mirrored things all over the wall. And they have one room that's, like, stone. And there's, like, tons of stuff hanging from the ceiling. It's very, yeah. Glitzy is a good term for it if you see pictures. Just go to Google and Google the glitz of Versailles, Kentucky. And you'll see the pictures.
So I will say, looking at the pictures, yeah, even though you said that there's no natural light, it's obviously you're not dining in the dark.
No.
Right, yeah.
It's a low light. Mm-hmm. It's mood lighting. But it's good. It's a prefix menu, which we didn't know anything about it. Someone just suggested it to one of my friends. So when you go online to look for a menu, it's really hard to find. They don't have it on their website. I had to go look somewhere else, but mm-hmm. It is prefix. They only have, I think, 8 things you can choose from. They pay a flat $35. They don't have alcohol. That's their one downfall. Because we tried to order drinks and they're like, we don't have alcohol. And my friend was like, oh, what? which is fine. I don't have to drink at every meal and don't routinely.
Right. But anyway, I mean, if you're at a birthday brunch.
Yeah.
You know.
We do like to have a
mimosa, right? Yeah.
Which is fine. You don't have to. They have their own, like, house special drink that's non-alcoholic. It was like a spiced apple cider with something in it. Peach and cherry, maybe. It was good. It was really good.
Yeah.
They only give me one of them, sadly. But it comes in a champagne flute, so you feel fancy. So you pay flat $35. You get that drink, and then you get an appetizer, an entree, and a dessert. And then you get unlimited, like, tea, like iced tea or hot tea and water. And then coffee. They'll give you, like, unlimited coffee. So we had, like, a bunch of coffee with our dessert. But they're small plates because it's lunch.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I had, for my appetizer, I had, like, their Irish potato soup. And it had a little, like, pesto oil swirl in it, so it looks fancy. It was good. It was actually a really good cup of soup. And then for my main or my entree, I had the salmon. So they have two entrees. They had three appetizers, I think, two entrees and three desserts. I don't remember what the other appetizers were. I'm sorry. But the entrees were chicken and salmon, and they were basically the same thing, except one was chicken and one was salmon. But they were the meat is wrapped in phyllo dough and then baked that way. And then it comes with a side salad with a really good dressing, like a lemon poppy seed, like vinaigrette.
Mm-hmm.
And then the desserts, you could get like a meringue or you could get a pound cake, which is what I got. Or you could just get like a, almost like a little whipped cream and berries or whatever.
Uh-huh.
The only downside is that, well, there's an upside and a downside for people that have food issues. So they had a completely gluten-free menu, which was nice because we have a friend that's like almost like Lee, mm-hmm. used to be on Girls Fair Sports. She's extremely celiac.
Yeah.
So she can't eat anything that's touched gluten. So she was able to eat a whole meal. And she got the salmon, too. Like, I also got the salmon. But her salmon wasn't wrapped in phyllo dough.
Okay.
And then her dessert that she got, it was supposed to be, like, some sort of pastry. And it just didn't come with the pastry. It had, like, berries and stuff. But almost every entree, appetizer, and dessert had some sort of tree nut on it. And not like just the almonds. I can deal with almonds. Mm-hmm. It's like walnut, which are a bad one for me.
Yeah, it's a no-no for me.
Yeah, I can't even, like, if a walnut has touched it, I can't eat it because of the oil.
Yeah, see, I'm not that bad. Like, if I can pick them off and eat it. But, you know, if it was covered in walnut oil, then yeah. Nah. Mm-mm.
But luckily, because they make everything there, they can take the stuff off. So, the salads all came with walnuts. So, I gotta take the salmon, but can I get the salad without the walnuts? So it wasn't a big deal.
Well, that's good.
But, you know, you don't know that stuff going in. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they get the stuff already made, and it's like, because some places,
sure,
I won't say them here, do that mm-hmm. are big restaurants. And you think that they make the stuff in house and they don't, which is fine. I mean, you got a lot of people to feed. No shade. But sometimes it's hard to know those things.
Sure.
Because if they're pre-made, you can't get the nuts
right
off.
Yep.
But it's good to know that was an option. The food was good. It just wasn't a lot of food. But mm-hmm. then again, it was lunch. And they're only open for lunch. They're not open for dinner.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what are the kind of days, hours type of thing?
Let me see what their hours are.
Or is it like they're just a seasonal, like a spring, summer, fall, maybe closed in the winter type
of
deal?
It is seasonal. I think they're closed in the winter.
Okay.
But I think they're open. They just opened up again a couple weeks ago.
Like in March.
Yeah, like right when spring mm-hmm. came. So like mid-March, and then I think they might close in December.
Oh, okay.
So I think they're only closed in the winter.
Okay.
But their hours are Wednesday through Saturday, 11 to 1:30.
Oh, okay.
And they take... They don't close at 1:30, but they stop taking reservations at 1:30. So when you get there, like we had a reservation at 1, mm-hmm. and they didn't take anyone else after us.
And I mean that.
And they kind of shoot us out at like 3.
That makes sense because I mean, kind of the whole premise is to get people out there to buy their antiques, right? I mean, no, seriously, you have the nice restaurant and everything, have a meal, but also before your reservation, come early, shop our store. After you're done eating, please shop our store.
Yeah, and like we got there, and we even got there like 15 minutes late because people were having trouble like finding the place, first of all, because it's literally in the middle of nowhere. There's a bunch, which I know I knew this, but I haven't been like, I need to go out and go exploring like these like central Kentucky counties more just because mm-hmm. they're so pretty and there's tiny towns and mm-hmm. all of them. I drove through like 3 tiny towns to get back to Lexington. So I don't remember which town this was in, but it had like a little tiny gas station and like a little tiny church. But when we got there, they still didn't have our table ready. So they were like, go hang around upstairs for 10 minutes, come back. But they also had a section that's like handmade jewelry and handmade like handbags that were like hella expensive. We were kind of just, and they've got like these wild designs. So we were like, oh, look at that one shaped like ice cream. And that one shaped like a guitar. And someone that works there came over and said, oh, well, these are made by so-and-so and she's out of Hollywood. And these are like, you could take this one to the Derby. So it's got stuff like that in it. Like something that like really rich middle-aged and older ladies would wear to the Derby or take to something like where you would go, we're super rich. But, you know, there's people around here that are into that because we're in horse country, which means we're in, like, super hella rich people money country. So,
especially in Woodford County.
Yes, that is the horse capital of the world.
I will say,
those lots of horse money.
Real Housewives of Woodford County ain't playing over there.
Oh, really?
No. You go to Heirloom, you're going to see them. Yeah. Especially in December.
Nice.
Yes.
But the one thing I will say... I would love that they had more signage on where the restaurant is because that was a big old guessing game. And I came in by myself and like, I was the first person there of our group. And I was like, am I in the right building? And some two ladies came in after me and I was like, I wonder if they're going to the restaurant. So I watched them like walk to the end of the hall on the first floor. And then someone was walking back with them and they were like, oh yeah, if you go to the right and then you'll see down the stairs and you go down the stairs and that'll be where you're going. And I was like, ooh, they are going to the restaurant. So I walked behind them and then we all got downstairs and they turned around and they were like, are you coming? Are you here for the restaurant? And I was like, I am. And they were like, me too. And I said, oh, good, because I followed you guys here. Because I don't know where I'm going. There's one door that leads down the stairs that says the Glitz.
Ah.
But the door's open, so you can't really see the door.
Gotcha.
So it would be nice if they had like a sign inside that was just subtly like, the Glitz, to the right.
Mm-hmm.
So that'd be my one.
Yeah.
Like
critique
suggestion.
Or whatever.
Yeah. So it's good food. Just not a lot of food.
Mm-hmm.
But...
Yeah, yeah. For $35, so I mean, it's not bad.
No, it's not bad. It's three like small meals, and I mean, I wasn't starving by any means, but I was getting a little full,
mm-hmm.
so I wasn't like overly stuffed.
Yeah,
which sometimes I tend to get.
Mm-hmm.
But well, it's good.
Yeah,
if you like antiques, go check out that place anyway, because there's some crazy stuff. There's a lot of dolls. You know how creepy antique dolls are. But there were some really interesting pieces in there. And then things that, like, probably remind you of, like, things that your grandparents had.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of Credenzas and mm-hmm. Hutches mm-hmm. and whatever, Chesterfields or whatever
yeah.
those are. But, yeah, it was interesting. Pretty cool. So, yeah, it's a fun out-of-town thing to try out. And go driving those back roads. Though some of those places at night, like, they would be haunted. They have to be haunted.
Yeah.
Like, I think I drove through, like, Troy, mm-hmm. I think is one. I drove through Keene. I'd always heard of, like, Keene Road.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big road in, mm-hmm. like, Nicholasville. Well, there's a place called Keene. I drove through it.
There
it's
you
tiny.
Go. Well.
But it's cute. It's mm-hmm. quaint. Like, I love that stuff. It took me all the way to Jessamine County.
Mm-hmm.
And then I took a harder ride into Woodford County. Like, there was a lot of county jumping.
County crossing.
Yeah, which is fine. But then once you get off, like, the 4-lane, you get on, like, a windy 2-lane.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's my area.
Is that your jam?
It reminds me of home. That's, like, the thing I miss about home.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, most of the roads are just 2-lane roads. And then once you get off, like, the ones that are marked, like, county roads.
Mm-hmm.
Oof, you're having some fun.
Well, cool. Yeah, yeah, people should definitely check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, fun, fun outing.
It was a fun outing.
Buy some antiques, eat some food.
Yep.
Drive some back roads.
Take a lot of money.
There you go.
To buy the antiques.
There you go. I believe
really
it.
Expensive.
You know what's not expensive?
These snacks.
That's right. So you know what I think it's time for?
Everybody wants to try some food. Yes, I've been holding on to these for not too long, but the snack game is strong these days at the Kroger. So, excuse me, I got a sweet and a savory, and then we have a special treat on the side. So I'll start with the food. We have Smart Foods Chocolate Glazed Donut. So this is popcorn. It's like a kettle corn.
It's tasty.
That's very good. Tasty. It tastes just like a chocolate glazed donut to me, like the ones from... Dunkin'. When I mm-hmm. think of a Dunkin' donut, this is the donut I think of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is really good.
Yeah, I've been sitting here eating a bunch of
them. Yeah, I could eat the whole bag.
Yeah, these are great. I'm glad I found these. The other ones, though, these are sick. These are awesome. We've had the Doritos Late Night series before, but that mm-hmm. was taco. Late Night taco. Mm-hmm. This is Sizzlin' Cheeseburger.
This is
no, oh my god.
You've got the pickle, mm-hmm. you've got the cheese, you got the burger, the grilled burger flavor. I mean, this is
umami to the max.
Oh, it's so good. And you taste that pickle flavor. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
These are good.
There's so much MSG on these.
I don't care.
It's good for your moderation.
I don't care. They're delicious.
I was telling Carrie before we started, like, one of my favorite things to do as a child from Eastern Kentucky. You know, we have stereotypes for a reason. I like to sometimes just take plain sandwiches with cheese. Mostly bologna and cheese on white bread, but also a burger with cheese only and maybe some mayonnaise. I know you're not a mayonnaise fan. One condiment. You don't get fancy with this. You put Doritos on your burger. Put a little condiment on there for some, like, texture, and then you eat that. That's what this reminds me of. This is giving me hardcore plain cheeseburger with Doritos drop.
Nice. Yeah. They're,
and I'm so happy.
They're delicious. They're very good.
Yeah. These are the best Doritos I've had in a long time.
Yes. They blow those buffalo ones out the door.
Yeah.
That we had the other...
I'm slowly eating those at my house. I'm probably going to the trash.
But I had to go in the trash and pay for the cheese.
I'm going to go buy. They had more of these at the Kroger. I'm about to go buy another bag.
I'm telling you, if you go buy one, buy me one. Yeah. For real. Because those are flipping delicious.
Yes. So these are both like, these are both bangers. Real winners. They taste just like what's advertised. And then also, if you're a listener to Girls Beer Sport, you might have remembered us maybe a month ago or so.
Something like that.
Talking about on Take It or Leave It, the Coffee Mate Dirty Soda Mix. They're supposed to put in Dr. Pepper. So I found it. Mm-hmm. They now have it in stores. Which, when you talked about it, they were saying mid-March.
Yeah,
is when maybe. It was coming, because I went back and looked it up. But, of course, things don't make it to Kentucky when they're supposed to. So it's mid-April on. Here we are. But that's fine. I figured it would come eventually. But if you don't know about Dirty Soda, it's kind of a Mormon thing. They have lots of really cool snacks. We should get some of their other snacks. Crumble Cookie is also a Mormon thing, so should get some of those at some point down the street. But they basically, they don't have this mix. This is a new thing. But one of their things that they like to make is take Dr. Pepper or Diet Dr. Pepper or any cola, and then put like creamer in it, and then you put coconut juice, and then you put lime juice in it, mix it all up, and Coffee Mate went ahead and mixed that all together for us. So all you gotta do is take some Dr. Pepper and add a splash of this. It's dope. This is good.
It's good. And I know Mormons don't drink alcohol, but I would hella put some rum in this.
Oh, my God. Because it already tastes like it has pineapple rum in it, or coconut rum in it. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. This is amazing. Like,
it's really good.
I'm going to drink more.
Yeah, it is. It's delicious and could definitely be made into an alcoholic beverage. And also could also be paired, I feel like, with Coke or another soda.
Yeah, this
like,
would I know be really good with Diet Coke.
This is supposed to be for Dr. Pepper, but I don't see any reason like why you couldn't put it in Diet Coke or something.
On the back it says, for the ultimate dirty soda sensation, mix your Coffee Mate with Dr. Pepper. But yeah, you could do anything. It's gluten-free and non-dairy, and it has no cholesterol. So
there you go.
Pig out. But yeah, this would be good in any cola.
I think so.
I would think. And splash a little rum in there. I wouldn't put vodka in there.
No, rum would...
This is a rum drink.
It's not even a bourbon drink. This is totally a rum drink. This is a rum drink. Yeah.
And only clear rum. This is not dark rum. This is not pineapple rum. It's not coconut rum. It already tastes like it has coconut rum in it. So just put the clear stuff in there. You'll be good to go.
Yeah.
This makes me want to go get some coconut rum and make some drinks.
Yeah. It's delicious.
Man, this used to be good. That used to be my derby drink of choice, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Coconut rum and some Diet Coke.
Ooh.
Yes.
That's hardcore. Ooh,
yeah.
That's tough.
It's good times.
Yeah.
But mix in a little orange juice, too.
All winners today, I think.
Yeah.
All three of these things definitely... Definitely winners.
Yeah. If you can find this Coffee Mate and these Doritos, get them
both. Oh, yeah. Buy them both.
And get the popcorn, too.
Yeah, get the popcorn, but...
The winner here, I think, is the Doritos.
Though, oh, for sure. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's really close between that and the and the dirty soda, but...
Ooh. All three good, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, now that we've got that out of the way, I have this... My turn to do the Hinkie history lesson. So now it's time for the Hinkie history lesson. So, we were just talking about burgers.
Mm-hmm.
And cheeseburgers in particular tend to have cheese on them.
They do.
And if it's a good one, it has... Like a good classic cheeseburger has American cheese.
I would agree.
Yes. And... Call me a crazy person. I love American cheese.
It's good.
And I love a Kraft single. I'll eat a Kraft single all day long, even just by itself, just eating little pieces.
Just eating little pieces, yeah.
Just a slice of Kraft single.
Yep.
I'm not ashamed. I have friends that think less of me because I admitted I like American cheese.
That's just rude.
I mean, I like what I like.
Those aren't your friends.
No.
No.
And if you're going to make a good, just sidebar, if you're going to make a good grilled cheese sandwich, you have to make it with American cheese because you don't get the cheese pool if you don't
right.
do it.
You don't get the melty.
Two slices. Because then when you cut it in the diagonal and then you pull it apart, the cheese pool is magnificent.
Yup.
Okay.
Agree.
So I'm going to do American cheese and then we'll talk a little bit about Kraft singles. And they both come from Wikipedia. So here we go. American cheese is a type of processed cheese made from cheddar, Colby, or similar cheeses in conjunction with sodium citrate, which permits the cheese to be pasteurized without its components separating. It is mild with a creamy and salty flavor, has a medium firm consistency, and has a low melting point, which is why it's good for grilled cheese. It is typically yellow or white in color, and yellow American cheese is seasoned and colored with annatto. Processed American cheese was invented in the 1910s by James L. Kraft, the founder of Kraft Foods, Inc., who obtained a patent for his manufacturing process in 1916. British colonists... British colonists made cheddar cheese soon after their arrival in North America. By 1790, American-made cheddars were being exported back to England. According to Robert Carlton Brown, author of the complete Book of Cheese, what was known in America as yellow cheese or store cheese was known as American cheddar or Yankee cheddar back in England. The Oxford Dictionary, this is what I thought was interesting. The Oxford English Dictionary lists the first known usage of American cheese as occurring in Frankfort, Kentucky newspaper, The Guardian of Freedom in 1804.
That is interesting.
So you can thank the capital of Kentucky, the Commonwealth, even for the name American cheese.
I like it.
After patenting a new method for manufacturing processed cheese in 1916, James Kraft began marketing it in the late 1910s, and the term American cheese rapidly began to refer to the processed variety instead of the traditional but more expensive cheddars also made and sold in the U.S. Traditional cheese is ground, combined with emulsifying agents and other ingredients, mixed and heated until it forms a melted, homogeneous mixture. Yummy. Sodium citrate is an important additive at this time as it prevents the cheese fats from separating. The cheese mixture is then heated to a temperature of at least 150 degrees Fahrenheit, or 60 degrees Celsius, 66 degrees Celsius for all of our non-American friends, for a minimum of 30 seconds during pasteurization. Composition requirements of processed American cheese control the percentage of milk fat, moisture, salt, and pH value in the final product, along with the specifications for flavor, body and texture, color, and meltability. Processed American cheese is packaged in individually wrapped slices as unwrapped slices held in stacks or in unsliced blocks. Individually wrapped slices are formed from processed cheese which solidifies only between the wrapping medium. These slices, sold as singles, are typically the least like traditional cheese. Blocks of American cheese are more similar to traditional cheese and are sliced to order at deli counters. So what are they used for? American cheese is a common choice for sandwiches due to its versatile nature, pairing with a variety of meats and other ingredients. American cheese is also recognized for its smooth and meltable texture, which is what makes it a reliable cooking ingredient for many dishes. American cheese is famously known for being used in a typical American cheeseburger, contributing both flavor and acting as an adhesive layer to maintain the form of the burger. The Philly cheesesteak was originally developed in Philadelphia by Pat and Harry Olivieri by combining thinly sliced beef, onions, and cheese on a long roll. The cheese used was provolone, but white American cheese slices are a common ingredient in the Philadelphia cheesesteak sandwich. As of 2018, the Philadelphia South Jersey market was responsible for 50% of Kraft Foods' white American cheese sales.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah. In a standard grilled cheese sandwich, American cheese is most commonly used due to its easy meltability. See, I told you. Since Kraft's American cheese was used for filled cheese sandwiches during World War II, American cheese has been known to have the best consistency for such a sandwich. See, I think we did do a history on grilled cheese.
Yes.
But this is different.
This is just the cheese.
Yeah, we're just talking broadly about cheese if anyone's wondering why they've heard of grilled cheeses before on here. In breakfast foods, American cheese is commonly used when making meals such as omelets, scrambled eggs, and breakfast sandwiches that involve bacon, eggs, and bread. And American cheese is also common in macaroni and cheese. So, a quick plug in the middle of this. If you want a really good breakfast sandwich and you live anywhere in Lexington, please go to Great Bagel on the DoorDash and get yourself the American, or just the plain egg sandwich. It comes with American cheese and a fried egg and your meat of your choice on a bagel, and it's delicious. I get one every weekend.
Pro tip.
I am their biggest fan. They should pay us to advertise.
They on Southland?
They're on Southland, and they have one on Boston Road.
There you go.
See? There you go. According to the standards of identity for dairy products, part of the U.S. Code of Federal Regulations. To be labeled American cheese, a processed cheese is required to be manufactured from cheddar cheese, Colby cheese, washed cheese curd, or granular cheese, or any mixture of two or more of those. So it can be any one of those or a mixture of at least two of them. The CFR also includes regulations for the manufacturing of processed American cheese. Because its manufacturing process differs from traditional cheeses, federal laws mandate that it be labeled as pasteurized processed American cheese if made from more than one cheese. A pasteurized processed American cheese, that's in quotes, must be entirely cheese with the exception of an emulsifying agent, salt, coloring, acidifying agents, and optional dairy fat sources, but at no more than 5% of the total weight. A pasteurized processed American cheese food label is used if it is at least 51% cheese, but other specific dairy ingredients such as cream, milk, skim milk, buttermilk, cheese whey, or albumin from cheese whey are added. Products with other added ingredients such as Kraft singles that contain milk protein concentrate use legally unregulated terms such as pasteurized prepared cheese product. And then I wanted to tack on also from Wikipedia a little bit about Kraft singles, since that's by far the most popular American cheese. Kraft singles is a brand of processed cheese product manufactured and sold by Kraft Heinz. Introduced in 1950, the individually wrapped slices are not really slices off a block, but formed separately in manufacturing. Kraft singles do not qualify for the pasteurized processed cheese labeling, as the percentage of milk fat in the product that comes from the added dairy is greater than 5%. Kraft had used label pasteurized processed cheese food, which allows for a greater percentage of added dairy, until the FDA gave it a warning in December of 2002, stating that Kraft could not legally use that label any longer due to a formulation change that replaced some of the non-fat milk in the recipe with milk protein concentrate, which is not a permitted additive. Kraft complied with the FDA order by changing the label to the current pasteurized prepared cheese product. So it can say product but not food.
That's like not being able to call Pringles potato chips, right?
Yeah.
That's dumb.
Potato crisps.
Yeah.
Kraft singles contain no vegetable oil and other non-dairy fats. One of the more famous ad campaigns involved the claim that each 3/4-ounce slice contained 5 ounces of milk, which makes them taste better than imitation cheese slices made mostly with vegetable oil and water and hardly any milk. The campaign was lambasted for its implications that each slice contained the same amount of calcium as a 5-ounce glass of milk, and also more calcium than imitation cheese slices, which eventually led to a ruling by the FTC in 1992 that ordered Kraft to stop making false claims about its advertising. In Australia, the Kraft branding was retired in 2017. Kraft's successor company in Australia, Mondelez, which we've heard about before, sold their cheese products line to Bega Cheese, but retains rights to the Kraft name. Bega switched the name of their sliced cheese products from Kraft Singles to Dairylea Slices, lame, as Bega acquired the rights to the Dairylea brand in Australia in the deal. Though around 40% of households in the United States continue to buy Kraft Singles, the sales have been flat. And that's all it has. Controversial in the Kraft single.
That is controversial in the Kraft single. And that took them till 2002? Come on. Get out of here. I do. That is exactly like not being allowed to be able to call Pringles chips.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yes, Kraft singles are the best meltable cheese out there.
Yes. I've been eating a lot of the Kroger version lately.
Mm-hmm.
Just as good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it's still cheese. In my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, there's actual cheese. It's not all chemicals.
Right. Yeah, no.
Like it said, it has to be 50% cheese.
To be honest with you, it's more cheese than Velveeta is, because Velveeta comes out clear, and then they add the color.
Let's see how much cheese is in Velveeta real
quick. Like none. None cheese.
How much real cheese?
Probably none. It's probably going to say none. None.
This is on the fly producing, folks. According to the FDA, Velveeta is technically not real cheese, but rather a processed cheese product. Well, although the regulations state that it must contain at least 51% cheese, as was as well as prescribing them in minimum moisture content.
I don't believe it. Hold on. No.
This isn't what I'm looking for. I want to know how much cheese is in Velveeta.
It says it's similar to American cheese. Maybe we should just hold on and do... I'll do the history of Velveeta the next episode.
I mean, good. I'm finding a lot of stuff about it. Yeah, I'm just keep saying pasteurized processed cheese product.
Yeah.
But that's what Kraft has to call itself.
Yeah.
They can't call it food. They have to call it product. Yeah. So it falls in the same category as Kraft singles in particular. Not other American cheese. Other American cheese can call itself pasteurized processed cheese food.
Right.
So.
Well, and I know you're not a big fan of Velveeta, so.
No.
There you go.
But, only in dip.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, I do. I do think a Kraft single is, and American cheese in general is good. Yeah. It's delicious.
I love it.
It's tasty, tasty cheese product.
It's very good on a cheeseburger. Although, it is. I mean, I'll get adventurous on the cheese on my cheeseburger, but sometimes just a plain cheeseburger.
Just want it
with mayonnaise,
right? Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, you said you liked mayonnaise.
No, I was gonna say. I thought you were gonna say. I thought you were gonna say Doritos.
No.
You know,
well, that too.
Plain cheeseburger with Doritos, or just a plain cheeseburger.
Yeah, with pickles. You gotta put the pickles.
Cause there you go. Like pickles. I'm in for. I'm in for the pickles.
Now I just feel like we're reciting the lyrics to Cheeseburger in Paradise.
Not a huge Jimmy Buffett fan, I can tell you that. Although this coconut,
that's a catchy song.
This coconut stuff would go good, I guess, if you were in Key West.
Yeah.
This dirty soda drink.
Mm-hmm. Thing. Dirty soda with Dr. Pepper.
Yes. So we did drink that. That was one of our drinks today.
Yep. And I don't have an exciting drink. I left my exciting drink at home.
Oh, you...
So I had to bring my work water. And then I put Mio in it. Lemonade, if anyone cares to know. Because I'm addicted to it and I can't stop drinking it. And it's a real problem.
Is it good?
Yes, of course it's good. That's why I'm addicted to it. It tastes like lemonade.
Okay.
So good. Gotta try it. Although, don't try it. You might get addicted.
This the Mio?
Yeah.
This the drop thing?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
So good. This is the best one.
How many drops do you put in?
Like a bunch.
Oh.
You give it one big squeeze for every, like, cup of water.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it's not just, like, little drops.
Gotcha. Well, I got something totally out of left field today that was actually donated. We'll just say donated to the show.
Sure.
But this is a company called Sprecher, Sprecher, Sprecher. Probably that's how you pronounce it.
Sure.
This is their Fire Brewed Low-cal cream soda. It's supposed to be a craft soda. It's made with honey.
Mm-hmm.
It's only 35 calories. It tasted like a cream soda.
Hmm.
It was. I didn't dislike it.
Did you get honey off of it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I think that's why it's low-cal is because there's not, like, sugar in it. It's honey. You know
Honey's
what I'm saying?
Pretty calorie-dense, too, though.
Is it?
I would think. Yeah. It's just pure sugar, almost.
Yeah, but I don't know. Who knows?
Sugar out of a bee's butt.
Yum. It was good. No, I liked it. It was good. Yeah, it says it's only 35 calories. Hmm. So, total sugars is 7 grams.
Hmm. Interesting.
Whatever. Don't know if I would actively seek it out again. I like cream soda, but it's not something that I'm like, more of a root beer person. Than a cream soda person. I like both, but like if I had choice, I'd probably lean root beer.
Yeah. I really only like cream soda if it's like A&W cream soda. They make a good cream soda.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do like some of those, what was it? Oh, we used to buy it in 6-pack at Kroger. Came in glass bottles. I can't remember.
I think I know what you're talking about. I also can't remember.
Yeah.
What it's
yeah. Mm-hmm. But I like their more flavored cream sodas. I guess
IBC
IBC. But I like the root beer better.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah, this the dirty soda was kind of giving me like cream soda vibes or like a like a float. A
little bit.
Like a Dr. Pepper float because it's very coconutty, but like mixed with like the pop, it gives like a vanilla ice cream kind of flavor.
Yeah, like if you put coconut ice cream in Dr. Pepper or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah. And this was a lot of good stuff today.
It did. So. A lot of good stuff.
If you want to hear about the other good stuff that we've done in the past and keep up with the good stuff for the future, You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at HungryKY. You can send me an email, hungryky@gmail.com. And then this show comes out every other Wednesday. I forgot what day it was. Wherever it is that you find your podcasts. And then I also have a blog called Bluegrass Bourbon and Eats. Sometimes I post pictures on Instagram, so you can follow, and sometimes Facebook. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Bluegrass Bourbon and Eats. We have a website, bmeandeats.com, that has some old yet interesting posts on it. And maybe one day I'll put some more stuff on it. Who knows where the future takes us. Now that we've survived an eclipse, and I know that I'm not dying from that, maybe the future is bright. No pun intended.
We can do anything.
For
and our
website.
Eyeballs aren't burnt out. So
nope, I can see the computer screen. Right?
Still can see.
Sometimes you get eye strain, but not from the eclipse.
That's right.
From the computer, actually. But, you know, I'll strain them a little bit further maybe sometime and ride on there. So
there you go.
Check it out if you'd like. And then where do we find you at, Gary?
On Twix at GRLS for Sports, on Instagram, on Facebook, everywhere. Good podcasts are free.
Well, thanks again for listening to Hungry in Kentucky. And as always, stay hungry, Kentucky.